Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Kaylee Turin, defense attorney, is joining us for some discussion. What I want to go into is this normal? Because there's different aspects of others' careers that from the outside looking in, we may say that seems rather odd. And then the individual who's in that role will say, actually, no, it's not. It's very common for people of this profession to do this sort of thing. And then sometimes you get the, no, it's not common for someone of this profession to do this sort of thing. What I want to specifically go into this conversation with Kaylee and ask you, because you are a defense attorney, how common is it for attorneys to show up to crime scenes that they are not involved in, that they are not representing any client of? Start taking pictures, start walking around. Of course, I'm talking about the allegations of Randy Murdaugh and Alec Murdaugh at the scene of Stephen Smith's body. Very shortly, the morning after it was discovered he was in the road and dead, the allegations are they were there. But again, not retained by anyone. How normal is that? Is this just a common thing? Were they out getting pictures and maybe wanting to offer their services or something? Is it normal?
There is no reason unless they are involved. You know, as a defense attorney, if I see bodies in the street, I'm calling. I'm not taking pictures.
Yeah.
You know, I'm rendering aid if need be. You know, the only reason to take pictures is if you're involved somehow and you need it for later.
And that's a puzzling piece of this puzzle in the Stephen Smith case. And I'm not implicating or suggesting anyone as being the murderer or anything of that nature. But these are suspicious things that need to be discussed and pointed out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is very bizarre. And I was racking that through my brain going, maybe there's a reason. It's a smaller community. Are they assuming that down the road they're going to be involved in this because they're kind of the go-to attorneys? I mean, is that a possible logical explanation, or is this all overall just very bizarre?
It's very bizarre because even if you think you're the go-to attorney, I mean, you haven't been retained by anybody. You haven't had contracts signed. You're not on any case. So, you know, that kind of excuse kind of goes to their ego a little bit that they automatically assume if that's the reasoning they're going with. But there's no reason unless you're directly involved.
There were accusations, as the mother of Stephen Smith has said, that Randy Murdaugh contacted her right after the murder took place, offering to help in any way that he could. His firm has since denied that that phone call ever took place. I don't know why. I don't think Sandy has a reason to be making this up, but it's one side against another. I'm sure phone records could probably actually prove this one way or another. But does this happen? Would that possibly be a logical thing where you see this tragedy take place in your community and then you reach out to the family saying, hey, I'd like to help you any way I can, in a real, you know, let me help you sort of way, even though there was no real relationship between these two whatsoever in the past.
Right. From that, I'm in a kind of smaller community outside Nashville, Franklin, which is still big, but we all know each other, kind of the officers and everything. So yeah, I can see that reaching out, hey, if you guys need anything, you know, lawyers here, we donate to officers, you know, medical funds, things like that. We're involved in the charities with each other. So I can see that potentially. No selfish motive. You know, it is a bit much smaller community than where I am. And so I can see that. I don't see any wrongdoing in that. And even if they did contact, you know, there's no reason to deny and just be like, hey, you know, I just wanted to see if you needed anything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing evil or anything about that. So even if the conversation did happen, I mean, it's not a bad conversation to have. You're just helping out members of your community. You know, we're all in this together sometimes.
Sure. So it's not necessarily anything that would be a red flag in that aspect. It is interesting to me that the law firm, though, would say and deny that that even took place. Is there logic there? Is there anything that we can read from that?
I wouldn't say logic. I mean, it did happen maybe 8 years ago. If it was right around the time of the death, maybe they forgot about it, you know, didn't keep records. But, you know, outright denying it, it's like, okay, even if it did happen, there's nothing wrong here. But are you saying you remember every conversation related to this, even if it happened 8 years ago? That's where I'm like, a little yellow flag there. Like, are you sure here? Because that is a long time ago. I don't remember all the phone calls I've made even this year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a bizarre thing to deny. Mm-hmm. That just kind of stood out to me as being rather strange. With something like this, as they're going in and they're starting to dig literally his body up, Sledge saying, we don't need the body to rule this a homicide. We're going to do that already, but we're going to participate in that as well. What, if anything, would one be thinking or should one be thinking if they've been implicated in this in some way, shape, or form? Because there's been a lot of rumors that have been out there against certain people. All of them being denied and very likely maybe have absolutely nothing to do with this. You know, rumors fly very quickly in small towns, even when no one is truly at fault. What should someone be in that situation doing at this time? I mean, if this investigation is going on, is there reason at this point to lawyer up if you have nothing to do with something like this? Or is it just kind of let things take their turn unless you know damn well that you are involved in this?
I mean, it's never a bad thing to lawyer up. But if you're just, you know, a regular citizen that has nothing involved in it, there's no need to. Usually, you know, police like to say, yeah, you know, it is your right to have an attorney. But they kind of look at it as like, oh, you're already going to that point. We can't even have a conversation here. So it kind of can put you in a gray area in investigation. So I think people can, you know, if they're not involved, rest easy. But if they are, you know, maybe someone involved, you know, it's always good to have on a back burner just to spitball ideas since you have that confidentiality.
What are some things? I mean, this is an interesting case because it occurred 8 years ago. And it was never investigated as a homicide. So a lot of the things that you would have in terms of investigation in an archive somewhere don't exist. They never did those things. How do they go into this and find more information? What would you be looking for? What would you, as an attorney, be wanting to dig into to find information on who did this, who committed this crime with what we have? I mean, it's essentially trying to unearth this with information that may not exist, may be gone, or just trying to find what's going to be out there.
Right. And I think it just goes back to re-interviewing everybody, especially with, you know, the Murdaugh trial finishing. You know, people's perception of the Murdaugh family may not be this, you know, reverent family, you know, oh, you know, they don't have any power anymore. I don't need to be scared of them anymore. And not saying that there was any threats or anything done by the Murdaugh family to other people, but maybe their perception has changed and they feel more comfortable being honest. But then again, on the flip side, if that happens as a defense attorney, I'm going to be like, oh, so now your story has changed 8 years later, because now our community is in the spotlight. You just want your 15 minutes, so to speak. So it's a double-edged sword there on that. But I think that's basically the only thing you really can do, since, as you said, basically all the physical evidence is gone besides his body that they're exhuming.
What kind of odds do you think they have, even if they do find some interesting pieces that may point in some directions, at getting down to the beyond a reasonable doubt finger at an individual or individuals who may have been involved in this?
Mm-hmm. So if this did not have the Murdaugh name attached to it, I would say it would be extremely hard. But we saw how quickly that jury came back with a verdict. All the testimony, all the days in court came back in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. That is telling that the community has their perceptions of this family already. And they already have, they may already have preconceived notions going into these trials, if there is going to be a trial. And I think it's going to be a very hard hurdle to overcome, is just the perception of this family in the community.
What I wonder about is not even necessarily, you know, it was quick to go, well, maybe somebody his age was involved in this. And that led to the accusations and the rumors against Buster. Again, we're not saying that he's in this and whatsoever. But what I'm wondering more so about is maybe it had really wasn't him at all that was involved in anything like this. Those accusations being completely moot. Could it have been someone who didn't want to have rumors circulating of a certain type of relationship there, if it did exist, or where there were even rumors of it, because it would bring shame to a family name because they look down upon that sort of lifestyle. And, you know, someone who's good at covering up things, just kind of continuing down his road of destruction. Of course, talking about Alec Murdaugh, maybe being more involved in the actual event itself and not even so much the cover-up, or both.
Yeah, I think anything is a possibility at this point. I mean, they're keeping this investigation very tight-lipped, obviously, just because of the media circus surrounding the other trial. But also, I think they want to protect, you know, the witnesses and kind of give them peace of mind that they're not going to be, you know, thrown to the wolves, so to speak, in this kind of case. And so protect them and make them feel comfortable if they need to get testify in a trial. So I think anything's possible here.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Haley Turin, defense attorney, thank you for your insight on is that normal? Because, yeah, I didn't think it was. I don't think a lot of people think it is. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our updates and discussions on the cases that we are following for you right here. And if you want to weigh in with your opinion, we'd love to hear it. We have a phone number for that. It's 888-554-5537. More easily remembered as 888-5-KILLER. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.